Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Hey everyone, I'm John Lynn, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today. We're excited to bring you another in our series of interviews with top leaders in health IT. And our guest today is Mark Galvin, founder, president, and CEO at Talon. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks, John. It's great to have the opportunity to speak with you today.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself and Talon.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm a serial technology entrepreneur. I did four venture capital backed companies in completely unrelated fields.
Wow.
Nothing to do with healthcare. But the beauty of being the first guy in the door all the time is you are the director of human resources just by default, because there's only one person. And so I got a little bit of education on healthcare markets and health insurance and payment systems. And I came out of that experience with some pet peeves. And I had the rare opportunity to scratch some of those itches of things that have bothered me about the healthcare system by starting, co-founding with a brilliant software engineer, Matt Robinson, a company called MMS Analytics. We do business under the name Talon.
Okay.
All caps, single word. And we've had a great run over the last 10 years in helping kind of transform some things that I'm looking forward to talking to you about.
Interesting. So let's start off with a little bit of, you know, regulation talk. Industry, I mean, it's healthcare. We have to have a little, you know, and given this recent wave of legislation and rulemaking, what are some of the topics that the industry maybe isn't taking seriously enough?
Yeah, so, you know, really, I'll probably use the term watershed a couple of times as we talk here, but, you know, there was a watershed moment in really October 2020, which was the final rulemaking under the Affordable Care Act by the Trump administration. So Obamacare, Trump modification,
yeah,
with a new rule called Transparency and Coverage Rule. And that rule itself was really the regulatory framework, which is taking us now from zero transparency or total opaqueness in the healthcare market, a marketplace that pretty much surgically removed the consumer. And when I say consumer, I mean all the people paying the bills,
sure,
from the information flow and the decision making. So that was me as an employer. That was one of my pet peeves, and then employees and patients. And so that was really a watershed thing. It got held up a little bit because there was a huge belief that the Biden administration, which was going to put the big red X through everything the Trump administration did, would basically, put a dagger through the heart of the transparency and coverage rule also. But actually, he didn't. He doubled down. And so you have three sequential administrations with all the things they might disagree on. And Americans might disagree on also, but pretty much everybody agrees that it's not fair for people, consumers, to have no idea of what the cost of things are until they're 3 to 6 weeks into having already gotten the services that they still don't know what they're going to have to pay out for.
That's amazing. We finally found something that is bipartisan supported, which is price transparency.
Yes.
Where are we with, you know, what's the reality on the ground as far as where we are with price transparency, and where should we be?
Yeah, so, you know, people get confused a little bit. Prior to the transparency and coverage rule, another thing they did is they modified the hospital price transparency rule. And so because it was first, it got a lot of this visibility in the media. And then on the far side, on the back side of the transparency and coverage rule, was another legislative initiative called the No Surprises Act, a part of the Consolidated Appropriation Act of 2021. And because those two things were kind of sandwiched on two sides, that one in the middle, which I think is really the most critical one to monitor and think about, didn't get as much attention. And I think it's starting to get a lot of attention now, because really that's the one where there's pretty near full implementation in terms of the transparency around pricing. So The hospital rule was, oh, go back and change these pricing files on the internet instead of just showing retail charge master rates. Hey, you need to show all payer rates in these files. And we, there were no structures to the files. It was a little, the rule was kind of a little bit haphazard. And the compliance with that was very low. It remains not very good. And it's not complete data because it's only hospital related data.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, we all know the hospital environment's regulated. It's always going to be more expensive than, you know, the outpatient opportunities for costs. So it also had a lower fine. So, you know, if it's hard to do, if you don't want to do it, if you don't have the right IT resources, $300 a day fine for a hospital to not do it is not a huge amount of money. It's kind of meaningless.
They'll just take it.
Now, the Biden administration has since increased the fines on that. So there, people are taking it seriously. And there's some very passionate people pushing for hospitals to fully comply. But the thing that happened later is the transparency and coverage rule. And what people don't understand is that the fines are on the head of the plan sponsors.
Mm.
Plan sponsors typically are the employer. And it doesn't matter whether you're self-funded or fully insured, you as the sponsor of the employee health plan are the one who's on the hook for the potential federal fines. And these fines are business killing level potential fines. And nobody, most businesses have no clue they're subject to it. These fines are $100 per affected member per day for non-compliance.
That adds up.
That adds up very quickly. It's roughly like $85,000 per employee per year.
Wow.
If you base it on the number of you know, household members that are affected at the same time. And so getting that news out, that information out, so that people can, you know, protect themselves, businesses can protect themselves from that. And you know, this was done deliberately by the government. They said, okay, well, we really can't tell payers what they have to do, but you know, because we're providing tax deductions for employers for their benefits costs and under ERISA and everything at the federal level, we can basically tell them what they have to do. You have to do this. And so unfortunately, the bad news is plan sponsors really could not do this for themselves. They need to have the assistance of the supply chain, otherwise they're in harm's way.
Yeah.
And so what the government's basically saying is like, okay, you're in harm's way, you need to pressure the supply chain because we can't. And if they don't comply, you need to vote with your feet and wallets and go somewhere else to someone who will help you comply. And these are really key underlying messages to the original intent of the rules. And, you know, I think it's probably worthy of mentioning what you're seeing now is, well, first of all, I would say the government doesn't want to fine employers.
Sure.
Okay.
Of course not.
It's not their fault.
They just
honestly
want the right action.
They want the right action. But they will threaten. This year, they'll start to threaten employers. They'll levy fines to employers that perhaps, you know, thumb their nose if
yeah,
some of them do that.
Cases.
But what we've seen recently is this thing, this Johnson & Johnson litigation.
So talk to us about that. You know, there's a significant lawsuit announced against them by a group participant, which is really interesting. What do you see as kind of the root cause of that case? Talk to us more about that case.
Yeah, so that's the next watershed moment, I would say. So I said I'd use watershed twice. I said earlier, the federal government doesn't really want to fine employers for not complying. But we all know sharp-nosed, sharp-tooth lawyers love to go after big corporations.
Sure, absolutely.
And so the No Surprises Act, the Transparency and Coverage Rule, really laid a groundwork that opens up the opportunity for class action litigation for classes of plan participants to sue their plan sponsors, right? And that's outside the control of federal governments, outside the control of the employer. It's legal. And so honestly, I think we've believed, and I think I've already seen it true in just the last week and a half since this happened, is that this kind of high profile public case is what will allow the employers to wake up the plan sponsors to say, ooh, it's not just I'm going to get a warning from, you know, eventually get a warning from the federal government, which I can maybe cure before anything happens, which they may not have even known they're subject to.
Sure.
But this is like out of the left field. I could just get a legal filing that says I'm being sued for something that could be very, very severe and bad reputational.
Yeah.
It's not good for Johnson & Johnson's reputation. Although, quite honestly, they probably had no way to deal with this themselves. It's almost probably not their fault.
Yeah. But that's the problem with a lot of legal cases. You might suffer the reputational damage, whether you're at fault or not.
Right, exactly.
And you got to pay for the lawyers to deal with it either way.
Right. And so this is like, okay, there's just some basic protections, things you need to do, including, apply that supply chain pressure back on your suppliers to make sure that they're bringing complete transparency. And, you know, the long-term value of that should be clear to people that recognize that consumer-oriented free markets, especially very large ones, get better, faster, higher quality, lower prices. Look at cellular phone markets, look at flat screen TVs. I mean, you can go down a list of even EVs, you get a model, what is it now? Model Y for $35,000 or something. Yeah,
it's definitely come down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting impact on kind of the industry. Are you seeing other impacts, to payments, plans, providers, even participants as a result of the price transparency regulations?
Yeah, well, so even with the hospital files, a lot of people started to see the major disparity in network negotiated rates, the wild disparity between negotiated rates for different payers, and how that related to, in some cases, cash prices, cash pay prices. It's perplexing for people. You go, well, none of this makes any sense,
it
right?
Doesn't.
But you never saw it before.
Right.
And so there's a huge reaction towards, well, it should be one price for everybody, right? Why is it different prices for different people? I mean, I go to the supermarket, I don't have to enter my social security number for it to add up the bill properly, which is kind of what we have to do, in healthcare. And it makes no sense. So there are a lot of smart people, very reasonable people, that are saying like, there's got to be a better way. And so there are things showing up like, I think you're going to start hearing about universal acceptable payment amount. Okay.
Interesting
so,
idea.
Yeah, something that basically would be an average commercial negotiated rate that has been paid to a given provider for a given procedure.
Hmm.
So in other words, they can still differentiate the quality of their service and earn a higher price based on that,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they're not as good and they maybe get paid a little bit less. In a normal consumer market, higher quality gets rewarded with usually some higher prices and better gross margins. And the idea of this universal acceptable payment amount is saying, okay, you're not stuck into getting just a given price for a procedure. You are getting a price, everybody gets the same price, but it carries the consideration of, what you have done in terms of improving quality or better outcomes and things like that.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think that evolution will be fascinating to watch and even the jockeying between all the different participants. What else do you think we should be on the lookout for in the next year to two, and maybe, in the next year to do kind of the media, and then maybe 5 years from now?
Well, in the next year or two, you're going to see for kind of office visits and kind of simple procedure labs and maybe some radiology stuff. I think you're going to start to see payment systems combined with transparency that actually allowed the providers to collect 100% of their pay at the time of service at point of sale. And that's the money from the participant if it's coming out of their pocket, but also the plan sponsor.
Okay.
So that it's like,
just happens.
I'm done. I came
no
in.
Negotiation,
just like,
no paperwork. Here's the cash.
Just like I went to Best Buy. I got a 55-inch Samsung, flat screen TV. I paid for it at the cashier and I don't hear from them again. It's not that Comcast Cable sends me an explanation of benefits 2 months later and says, by the way, we at the cash register, we calculated wrong and you owe another $500, you
know? Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, well, that's what we live in healthcare, right?
It is.
So you can't, it's crazy. So that's, I think that's in the short term. There's still a lot of complexity in the way things are billed for more complex things. Uh-huh. I like to parallel it to back in the early 80s when I got out of college as a math and computer science major, that I had to become a consultant for people that wanted to build up their IBM PCs, helping them select components and what the right price. It's like, yeah, but Michael Dell came along, he bundled stuff, right?
Made it easy.
Yeah, and then Apple, and basically anybody can now just go into a store and buy a mobile phone or a laptop computer that has more complexity than probably all of MIT had in the 1980s. And so I think what you're going to see as the consumers being brought back into the market through these transparency regulations and the No Surprises Act and the sharp teeth of the litigators, we're going to see innovation come where they basically say, okay, if I make this better for the consumer, I make it easier for the consumer will reward me with their wallets and with their feet coming to us. And that trend will drive a simplification of billing issues, simplification of coding issues. I mean, go down the gambit. Every corner of the US healthcare system will be affected by the consumer returning to the market, the transparency, and ultimately 5 years, maybe a little longer from now, we should be able to have payment at time of service at point of sale for even some of the most complex surgeries.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I would say.
Well, I hope you're right.
Yeah. Well, I think providers generally think about it, right?
Yeah, they want the cash.
Who wants to be chasing, have collections? They have huge collections departments, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the fun part of the business. It's not good for the business's reputation to be chasing people after the fact for money. It's like, hey, just, you know, pay on the barrel head. And by the way, pay less because you're not getting gouged and people aren't having to pay all types of extra overhead to try to collect because it's already paid on, you know, paid at time of service. I think providers are gonna really like that, honestly.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, you know, I think you're right. And I think there's a bunch of people who have proven the model that they're fine to get paid less as long as they know they're gonna get paid. Right? It's the unknown of whether they'll be able to collect that makes them have to charge higher prices.
Yeah.
And so that's a great way to drive the price down.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark, this was a really fascinating conversation. I appreciate you educating us on some of these important rules. And thanks everyone for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcasting applications. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, John.